Hello, and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help you move forward. That's what Avanti means. I help people move forward, achievers, business owners, leaders, movers and shakers in Rochester, New York. The way I do that is I get great, great guests, and my number one job is to really ask them great questions, to suck their brain for incredible tips and knowledge for our listeners. If they want to, you know, grow their business, grow their life, grow their potential, that is what we do. So today on the show, I have a great guest. He's a young professional. He's a New York City guy that has chosen to live in Rochester, New York. And we'll talk about that. And his name is James Laureano. James, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
Sure. Victor's kind of a way out from Rochester. I didn't realize Victor was so far from Rochester.
Victor is, I grew up in Rochester, and I was born in Greece, New York, and then we moved to Pittsburgh, New York, and then I lived in the city in my 20s and 30s for a little while. But Victor, when I was growing up, Victor was always known as kind of like a farm town.
Sure.
That East Two Mall is out there on the edge, just over the edge of Pittsburgh. But other than that, it's like the farm town.
It's so much different from New York City anyway. No matter how you slice
it,
Rochester
God.
Is so different from the big city.
But yeah. Well, that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. Oh my God. And now Victor is growing like crazy. Like if you drive, a lot of the farmers sold their land. And now they're building beautiful houses, and it literally is the second fastest growing town in New York State.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's growing like crazy. But coming from New York, I mean, for you, this is still farm country, right?
It's funny. So my wife and I, we moved from New York in 5th of July. We moved down from New York City.
Oh, so just recently?
Yeah, just recently, back from the city. Now, I went to high school. He went to Edison Tech. Mm-hmm. Graduated, went to University of Buffalo, and then I've been 6 years South America, so just kind of traveling and doing my thing.
Right.
Started a couple companies and businesses, and a year ago, moved back to New York City. Did a year in New York managing a pretty big marketing agency in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And we found that we were having a baby. Mm-hmm. And the best place, I remember this time of year was my favorite time of year in the Rochester when I lived here, is the changing of the weather and the way the people are, and it's just a fantastic place to raise kids, and that's why we came back.
Right. So came back for the kids,
We did, and I actually found out a lot of stuff about downtown development in Rochester. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of really big opportunities for young entrepreneurs right now in Rochester, and figured if we're going to come anywhere, might as well come back home and figure out how to make it better. Yeah,
you're coming at an incredible time.
Mm-hmm.
It's especially downtown. There's a complete renaissance going on.
Absolutely,
it's so much. It's blowing me away, and I'm an optimist. You know, I mentioned a couple times before that. A couple of weeks ago, I was at Bronca downtown, great restaurant downtown.
That's in the base of the 280, right?
What's that?
That's the Tower 280. That's the Bronca.
Yes,
correct. Absolutely.
Looking out the window, facing what is now Parcel 5, used to be Midtown, where I used to work, believe it or not. And now it's gone. And I'm like, there are people playing stickball at lunch. There's beautiful people like jogging, riding bikes, walking dogs, young people.
Sure.
I'm like, is this Rochester?
I know.
It'd be a little slice of Manhattan, right?
We came back, and we lived in a south, what they call it, South Williamsburg, quote unquote, air quotes, South Williamsburg.
Right, yeah.
But it's actually Bushwick. Okay. Bushwick is so gentrified now, they just annexed it onto Williamsburg. And that's what it looks like. Like right now, my wife and I got an apartment on St. Paul Street, right? Almost kitty corner with Main Street, right next to the bus terminal.
Yeah.
The people downtown are fantastic. The community, the things that are going on. We just got three new coffee shops. They're putting in whole food places. So really good stuff. Yeah, the Renaissance. And Midtown Plaza is being renovated.
Yeah.
So Midtown Plaza now is gonna be a city center mall again, the way it was. And with the downtown terminal, the foot traffic between there and the plaza, we're talking about, 2.5 blocks.
Yeah.
Anybody who's moving downtown Rochester right now in this time frame, by this time next year, is going to have really good foot traffic and really really good business.
So you are a young professional.
Absolutely.
You're in your 20s?
29.
Yeah, holding on.
29 with the beard. I look like 38, but well, I can take the beard off.
35, you know.
Thanks.
He's got a long, you know, very Jesus-like beard, we'll say. You know, very handsome guy over here. So we're wearing a Jets hat. I don't know about that, but other than
we're 4-2 this year. We're doing a lot better than we thought we were going to be. I'm from New York City. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know? So can't root for the Bills. I'm sorry. A lot of your fans are not going to like that, but I can't root for the Bills.
We're going to end the show now. So if I, you know, so let me get this straight. So you were born here, or you're born in New York?
Born in New York City.
Mm-hmm. You came here and
moved to Rochester. I was like 11 or 12. Graduated high school at 15.
Why did you move to Rochester?
Actually, I have a younger brother who's quadriplegic, okay. And Sherman Memorial Hospital is a great hospital for the lot of
also, you good survivability. Also, you moved here for strong. Yeah?
Sherman Memorial, yeah.
Yeah.
Moved here, and like I said, beginning of high school, graduated high school 15, and been just kicking and grinding since then. I have a double master's degree, international marketing, strategic mass communication.
Wow. So you're smart.
I am driven.
Yeah.
Intelligence has really nothing to do with the with success. Success is you wake up every day, you put on one sock, and then the other, you figure out what you're going to do for the day, and you cross things off your list, and that's how you get things done.
Moving forward. Yeah.
That's it. And do things today. You do things now. You don't wait till tomorrow.
Right.
That's how entrepreneurs move. And it's incredible, the entire dynamic, the entire situation of Rochester, New York right now, the way it's coming up. I'm surprised there aren't more young entrepreneurs. I'm surprised you go on YouTube right now and you search up like Rochester, New York, and I swear to you, like if you search on YouTube right now, you'd find, I think it's Popeye's Runs Out of Chicken, Lake Avenue. And then you find like a couple of things about the cops, and you find a couple of things, nothing really positive. Like young entrepreneurs need to be putting out content and doing things, and show us what you're doing. Show us how you're moving and shaking so we can meet up and network and help each other. Yeah.
Right. So are you part of Rochester Young Professionals?
I've been to a couple of the meetings. I wouldn't say I'm a member. I've been to a few of the meetings. Have worked with some of the people who are over there on the board of directors. I feel there needs to be more. I feel like there's no organization that's going to come in and completely solve a problem or connect people or network. Mm-hmm. People who are involved need to kind of have a vision for what they want to do, and know what their goals are and know who they want to network with. And you come in kind of with a game plan and you get it done.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the networking thing we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So we'll talk about that for a second since you brought it up. So about a week and a half ago, I put kind of a random thought on LinkedIn and Facebook about forming a, it's not even a mastermind group. It's not even a networking group.
Sure.
It's kind of like a collaboration group and an advisory group among your peers. I'm just throwing it because a lot of people have questions, especially a lot of young professionals have business questions. And I got 65 people saying, oh my God, I would love a group like that. You know, networking and learning. I mean, that's the big piece is really... because you know you watch the Jets with your friends on TV, but maybe these aren't the same friends that you could talk to business about, right? And so
some are.
Yeah, but imagine going to a group where it's an advisory group among your peers, all business owners, leaders, you know, running organizations, be able to collaborate with them.
Sure.
So I got over 65 people between Facebook and LinkedIn saying yes, let's do something. So I just formed a group here, and I got 10 people signed up already. We're going to get you signed up right after this.
We're getting on. The thing is, I find that I've been to a lot of networking groups, and you go like these mixers on like the 5 p.m. and the happy hour, even in New York City.
Yeah.
It's just like a lot of pissing contests. Like sometimes you go in and like you'll meet people that if you weren't meeting them in that networking environment, they might actually like be fun people to talk to.
Right.
Or like good, you might wind up with a friendship. But I feel like people come into these networking meetings. This is going out to young professionals. So, I mean, people come in and they'll talk about how much money they make or what car they drive or like what they've been doing. Yeah. They.
Hey, Jimmy, hold on to that thought. We gotta take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. And today I'm talking to a great guy, James Laureano, and he is a young professional. We're going to talk about what he does to help businesses in about a second. But we were just talking about how there are networking groups And sometimes it's pretty obvious why networking gets a bad name. You know, sure. I don't even like the word networking. I like more, if you're doing it right, it's collaboration.
It should be. Yeah.
You know, there's win-wins. I help you because I want to help you because I'm a nice guy and I'm not looking for something in return.
Sure.
But you're talking about how sometimes you go to a networking group and you said it's people are like bragging and it's a
young generation. I'm 29 years old and nobody, I mean, I have a double master's degree. Nobody sits you down and tells you how to operate business.
Yeah.
They sit you out and tell you how to manage your books and how to balance your sheets and how to make invoices and run your company. But how to have like a business mindset, entrepreneurial mindset and have that, like you said, the collaborative mentality.
Right.
Nobody teaches you that. Nobody kind of tells you. I find I really became successful. I really can say that my success was marked by the morning that I woke up and realized that I knew nothing.
Hmm.
You wake up and realize that you know nothing and open your brain and open your mind and your mentality to learn things, something new from somebody every day and kind of incorporate that into your business. And that's how you move forward and that's how you become better.
Yeah.
Nobody taught us in high school or even college how to write a check or how to handle payroll or any of that. Yeah. So, and a lot of young entrepreneurs struggle with exactly that. It's not the idea is great. The company is great. The idea that you have and the drive that you have is fantastic. But it's the base knowledge that I remember I was too ashamed to say I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that I admitted that I didn't know it and I needed help with that is the day that my business grew tenfold.
Yeah.
So that's on that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you seem, let's talk about what you do for small businesses.
Sure.
And I know that you do a lot of very targeted marketing.
Sure.
Online. For small and medium sized, for all size businesses, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And coming, you know, you really cut your teeth in New York City, which I'll say is, you know, probably the cutting edge place to do that.
Yep.
Come back to Rochester, you probably got some ninja skills, you know, for Rochester, you know, we're certainly a cutting edge town, but it's a smaller city. It's no New York City where all this stuff is cutting edge.
Sure.
How are you? What are you doing and how can you help small to medium-sized businesses here in lovely Rochester, New York?
I think that small and medium businesses need to understand that in the past, you needed a lot of budget. Like marketing was considered a budget-heavy thing because of, we were discussing earlier, the prices of billboards and TV ads and radio ads, and that was fine. When people – I got to go back. So marketing is really – getting your message in front of as many people who are going to use or buy your product.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes no sense to put your message in front of people who aren't. And normal marketing techniques, even social media techniques nowadays, there are a lot of people who are charging for social media marketing and they'll charge you $1,500 to $1,800 a month to handle your social media marketing. But they'll put your demographic in as females like between the age of 25 and 38
mm-hmm.
in Rochester, New York, let's say. So, yeah, if you're a shoe store or if you're, you know, you're looking to hit that demographic, that's fantastic. But let's say you're, for example, strong museum of play.
Yeah.
If you're the strong museum, you do want to hit that demographic. You want to hit men and women between the age of 25 and 38 who have mm-hmm. children,
right.
who have children who may also attend a certain school or yeah. who you want to hit parents who have a certain amount of, let's say $65,000 a year plus mm-hmm. income to make sure that they fall in line with the demographic that you're reaching. Because if you're outside of the demographic, you're just wasting your money.
Right.
And what people don't understand is that when you find a marketing agency, I don't care what marketing agency it is,
mm-hmm.
60% of the money that you spend is wasted budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take $100,000 and you're knowing that $40,000 of what you spent, it's actually getting you to the people who are going to buy your product.
And 60 grand is over.
It's overhead that the marketing agency charges you for their vendors. Cause a marketing agency, nobody in the agency is doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
They're outsourcing all of the work to third party vendors. And if they're doing the work in the house, they have to cover the overhead for that person they're paying.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying for that. Right. Mm-hmm. So a Driven Social, the company that I run what we do is we go directly with the small medium business.
Mm-hmm.
We figure out what the business plan is. Now, as a marketing strategist, it's not just social media.
Mm-hmm.
It could be social media. It could be a trade expo. It could be a direct mailer campaign. It could be going out and talking to people on the street with a street team. Whatever it is, we figure out what we need to do to get the message across.
Yeah.
And then we figure out the cheapest way to do that. And that's not something you're going to hear from our marketing agency where they're looking out for your pocket.
Right.
And we're able to do this because I'll give you a perfect example. So I have a client. They're a spa. downtown Rochester. This spa, they're looking to increase their foot traffic and increase they just reopened the spa about a year ago. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get people to kind of get involved and come through and know that they exist.
Yeah.
That spa is operating on a budget the same as a small mom and pop restaurant would.
Mm-hmm.
With the same budget that, the exact same budget that a shoe store or...
What is that, maybe $1,000 a month? I mean, what is it?
$1,500, $1,800 yeah. a month, $2,000 a month. But this is going... We know because of the way that we're doing the marketing, the fact that we're not paying... We're not charging overhead for vendors. We're putting the spa directly in contact with the vendor who does the work. Therefore, you know, we're cutting the budget down by 50-60%.
Yeah.
So every dollar that's being spent and being used to market through our agency is going directly to the vendors to make sure that it's the bottom line through hyper segmentation, like we discussed.
Right.
So we're making sure that, you know, we're not just hitting women in Rochester, we're hitting women with kids, with this, with that. There's thousands of addendums.
Yeah.
I did a marketing campaign for a bariatric hospital last year, and we were able to literally market to people who need bariatric surgery, so people who are morbidly obese, and then who have secondary health issues. So you can go into like diabetes and heart disease and people who are actively trying to get better,
right.
And you can target and market directly to them to make sure they get
the
message.
This is on Facebook or retargeting, or
it really goes the way this marketing works is any screen that's electronic that's in that home. So we can target, let's say we're here at your office, we're at 2 Main Street. I could target the 3-block radius around here, and I can guarantee that everybody within the 2-block radius is going to see your ad depending on how much money we put in.
Right.
So if you put in $1,000, that's 70,000 hits with a 21% CTR, so I can guarantee 9,000 people will see.
Right.
9,000 people will see your advertisement.
Yeah.
And that's something that no billboard, that's something that no TV station, no radio station, no newspaper can guarantee.
Yeah.
We can guarantee with analytics at the end of the report, and then we give a report showing exactly who. For if you have a sales team, you could follow up with those exact people who came to your website.
Right. So, wow. So it's very like Jetsons type of advertising.
It is literally the next wave. This is how Coca-Cola... When I ran Coca-Cola's marketing team in Chile in 2012, we launched Coca-Cola Radio. This is how I did the marketing, but it cost me $40,000 to do it.
Right.
When I was doing the Mercedes-Benz for Chile, when I ran the marketing campaign for the Ministry of Tourism of Nicaragua, I had $200,000 and $300,000 budgets.
Yeah.
And I was running this kind of marketing, very, very strategic, targeted marketing. But it was expensive then because big data cost money.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there are a lot of companies who, like I said, anybody who's interested in doing marketing with us, we put you directly in touch with these vendors who I personally have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars with.
Right.
So I get lower minimums. I get lower budgets. Mm-hmm. I can go in where if you went in by yourself as a business owner, your minimum would be $2,000 or $3,000 ad spend a month. I can go in for $400, $500
right.
because of the relationship that we have with these vendors.
Gotcha. So. Okay. So let's say that, you know, there's a small business here in Rochester that contacts you.
Sure.
And you know, they have $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to tell them to do with it? Without giving away your secret sauce, you know, what is you're going to be like your action plan for these people?
Well, first of all, my wife and I are business partners. So we go into the business and we try the business like a secret shopper. We go in and without, you know, we have the conversation with the owner. We'll set up a day, a Tuesday or Wednesday of during the week, and we'll just go in and try the service and try the location.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the problem doesn't really lie in the message you're sending out. It lies in the message that you have when people are coming in.
Yeah.
What's their first impression of the business? From there, we then set up a meeting and we do the analysis of competitors in your market. Mm-hmm. So in the downtown Rochester area, let's say you're a small family restaurant.
Yeah.
What other small family restaurants, how are they running? What's their business look like? And why are they doing better or less or on par with you? We figure that out.
Right.
And then we figure out who exactly the demographic is. Mm-hmm. And that comes from conversation with your employees. Because a lot of people aren't doing like, you know, people aren't filling out a request for information when they come to sit down in your restaurant.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking to the servers and the bussers and the people at the front end, we can figure out who the main demographic is and who the regulars are.
Is the bathroom clean, right? Yeah.
who the regulars are. So, like, if we know there's an apartment building 3 blocks away where 60% of those people are coming in, we can run promotions and specials and things on the digital using hyper-segmentation directly to that geographic location.
Right.
So, let's say this this restaurant was city center downtown, we could feasibly, we could very easily hit Tower 280, the Chase Manhattan Tower, the Smith Gormley Building, 180 St. Paul Street, all these locations where these people are living, they have apartments paying $3,000 rent for apartments. And we can make sure and guarantee that those people are going to see advertisements for that restaurant downtown.
Right. So you can guarantee, it's crazy.
It's guaranteed that they'll see it, how they react to it, and what you do after we give you. We do coaching, and we do months of coaching afterwards to show you how to best use the information that we're giving you.
Very cool. So then, and you're new to town again. Mm-hmm. So Chase Manhattan Tower is, you know what it's called now?
No.
The Metropolitan.
The Metropolitan, yeah. We actually looked at apartments, but our wife and I had
a friend of mine, Lauren Galena, went through Leadership Rochester with her family. The developers and bought it and making it into a pretty cool thing.
I would love to speak to Lauren Galena because she's in charge of marketing over at the Galena Group, isn't she?
Well, I could connect you.
Fantastic. That's a great conversation.
That's the power of Dave Amato.
Awesome.
I'm going to be there. In fact, you should go. November 8th, Rochester Young Professionals is having an event for entrepreneurs, for young entrepreneurs. I'm going to be there. And so I'll let you know. Yeah, I'll let you know about that too.
Awesome. I mean that building with the Galena Group. They you have to understand they're gonna have the people who live in that building will have a mall in their basement. They'll be able to be on their elevator and go to the basement and go to the mall.
Go to a mall.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's really. I mean, it's like even New York City next level shit.
It's a little New York City going on, right? Yeah. I know. Kind of exciting. So living in New York and living in Rochester.
Sure.
Pros and cons of both places.
Oh, traffic. Traffic in New York
in
City.
Rochester?
No, I mean, I can get up 8 minutes before the meeting and be at a meeting, And in New York City, you got to plan like 2 hours ahead of time. It's ridiculous.
It's very stressful, isn't
it? I do miss the train. I do miss the subway. And it's funny because my wife and I, when we picked our apartment, we moved into a beautiful loft downtown on St. Paul Street. And we picked the apartment specifically because the Amtrak train runs right outside the window. Okay, like we wanted the noise.
Hear that noise.
Yeah. And that's the baby's nursery now. So we put the baby with the noise of the train so she's not used to the quiet.
She's not used to it. Yeah. So one baby.
We have one, yep.
Yeah. How 6 months, you said?
Oh, no. She's a month and a half. Almost 2 months, not even. Yeah. My wife just gave birth.
God bless you.
Thank you.
So what else? So what do you really like about New York? What do you really like about Rochester? And what do you like so glad that you don't have to be in New York? And I know you said the traffic.
Love New York. I can't say anything. I mean, besides the traffic and like the profanities that you're yelled at the stoplight. I mean, there's nothing else. New York is fantastic.
The energy is pretty good.
Rochester is great. It's a little bit weird for me when I walked out the street to walk the dog and everybody says hi.
Yeah,
like nobody says hello in New York City.
Yeah, I know. They're looking at their phones down here.
They're looking at the phones here. That's no difference. But it's here, a little more polite about
people
it.
People say hello.
They say hello.
I don't know if you know this. You're probably too young. I think it was the mid '90s. So it was Reader's Digest magazine, which I don't even think they have anymore. They did a nationwide survey, right? So they did all like a real like studies. Mm-hmm. They went to the largest 50 cities, and Rochester was like number 48, right?
Sure.
And they did a study about, and they're trying to find the friendliest city in the country. And they did things like, do people open up doors for you? Do people say hello? Mm-hmm. Do people give you real directions? Like if you need, will they stop and help you? If you drop your wallet, will someone pick it up and give it back to you?
Jesus.
Right? Right? So, and would you believe Rochester, number one friendliest city in the country?
I believe that. I lost my wallet with $3,000 in it the first day we got to Rochester. Oh. Got the wallet back the next day.
Money in there?
All the money in it.
Wow.
It's fantastic, yeah.
Wow.
Just a testament to Rochester, New York.
Yeah. And so what was pretty cool about that is they did that same study, Reader's Digest magazine, for 50 years previously.
Sure.
So it's whatever, in the 40s. We were number one back then, too. So there's something here that is just people are nice. Despite some of the challenges we're having downtown with poverty, etc., we're still friendly, right? So, but people like you are gonna make a difference.
What we're looking is, we say there's a poverty line in Rochester, and that's absolutely true. There are haves and have-nots in Rochester, and there will be in every city. Mm-hmm. But our job, I'm 29 years old, and I came from that. I came from nothing. Every dollar that I have, I've made myself.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic in one way. And it's the best thing about that is the fact that you can be an example and you can be a role model and you can take somebody, every entrepreneur, your job is to take somebody under your wing and bring somebody with you.
Yeah.
And that's how you build a fantastic team.
Yeah.
You build a team of people who you know, you get people from all different walks of life. It doesn't matter where you come from, what side of the poverty line you were raised on.
Yeah.
Everybody has an opportunity now. That's the fantastic thing about 2017 and the world we live in. So.
Hey, James, on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Awesome.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm Dave Mamano, your host, trying to shake up the Rochester business community by finding the movers and shakers in Rochester. And today I have, he is both a mover and a shaker. His name is James Laureano, and young professional, just moved from New York City, has lived in both places, went to high school here, Edison Tech, went back to New York, came back here again because... He and his wife had a baby and wanted to really have a lifestyle for the family, right?
Sure, absolutely.
An affordable lifestyle, all that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, James, that you shared with us that you kind of came from poverty.
Yeah.
And through your own focus and hard work and dreams, you've made a great life for yourself.
Absolutely.
You didn't let it define you. You didn't remain a victim of poverty. You got out of it. And now I love what you said, too. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility to say, what can I do to lift someone out of poverty? To be an example, be a mentor, show them that there is life outside that bubble. And it's such a fulfilling life because you are creating your own destiny. You are reaching your potential. And that is the drug of choice, right?
Absolutely. And this, the thing is, there's so many opportunities. There's so many opportunities. I'm sure people who are listening and you've heard of Gary Vaynerchuk and
my God.
I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Let me interrupt you for one quick second. My new magazine is launching tomorrow. It's called Avanti Entrepreneur Magazine. Mm-hmm. It's for Rochester area business owners. And guess who wrote an article for the magazine?
Did Gary Vaynerchuk write
that? Big Bad Gary V.
No way.
He wrote fantastic. An article. So yeah. So I had I do a little plug there, but go
ahead. Awesome. That's fantastic. No, there's so many ways that you can make money. There's so many ways. There's the only thing stopping a person from making money is that person that you're driving your mentality because he preaches every single day.
Yeah.
Go to a thrift store. Go to a Goodwill. Pick something up for $5 and sell it again on eBay or turn around and sell it on Amazon for $10-$15. And it seems like little, but if you have your life set and you have your life situated, that might seem like a waste of time to you. Mm-hmm. But when you're first starting out and you need capital to make moves, that's a lifesaver. And it's exactly how I got started.
Yeah.
It's exactly how I got started. I got I made the money to pay for my passport and for my first plane ticket. I had a job opportunity in Chile and I was offered the job. I accepted the job, not a penny in my pocket, mm-hmm. not a dime to my name. And I had to make $4,000 in a month. To be able to cover the ticket and the passport and everything to get down there to actually take this job in Chile.
Yeah.
And I did.
You did.
And you just do
you
it.
Found you a way.
You straddle down and you do it. Yeah.
You set a goal. And that's a good thing about goal setting is you find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Right? So you said, I got to make $4,000 in 30 days or less.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I got to do. Right?
And you buckle down and you do it. So there's my younger brother now, Augustus. He's a young entrepreneur. He's starting his own business.
Yeah.
My young brother, Jeremy, I gave him put him through his paces and he's working on starting his own business.
Yeah.
It's just a mentality. It's about, I find if you're stuck in a place, if you're listening and you're stuck in a place where you feel like you've been there for too long. Mm-hmm. And this happens at every level. This happens at the bottom when you haven't even started. And this happens when you're successful sometimes. You feel that you've plateaued and you've been here for too long.
Yep.
You're uncomfortable being stagnant for so long.
Yep.
Just pick up and keep moving.
Right.
There's nothing stopping you. Stop down. Take a minute to sit down, write a list.
Yeah.
Write your goals out, make a mood board, make a wish board,
and
sit down and have a positive thought session with yourself about where you want to see yourself next month, in two months, in 6 months.
I love it.
You just get up and do it.
Sometimes people wait too long. You know, I want to do this. I'm going to do that.
Sure.
And, you know, you could transform your body in 90 days with P90X.
Sure. Right?
And you could transform your life in 90 days or less, too, if you have, like, the proper motivation, goals, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline's a big thing because it's so easy to get distracted, right? The power of saying no.
Sure.
So, like, you needed to make $4,000 in a month to go to mm-hmm. Chile. you know, maybe some friends said,
let's go to the movies.
Hey, James, yeah, yeah.
No, I can't.
And you're like,
yeah.
If you want to say yes.
Absolutely.
Sounds like fun, but you probably said no. I'm sorry, I have to go make $200 right now.
Exactly.
So, yeah, right? Warren Buffett, you know, he's pretty done pretty well for himself. Someone asked him his secret to success, and he said, it's one thing, because I say no 99 out of 100 times. And he admits, a lot of times I want to say yes. Sounds like fun.
Sounds like fun. Good idea. Good projects come across your table. Good things. Good people.
Stay focused.
Gotta say no. Yeah.
So I have found for me, I'm really hyper-focused on producing content for business owners.
Sure.
So my radio show, my podcast, my new magazine, and I have an annual event for business owners. So if it doesn't relate to one of those things, then I'm doing my best to say no. And I fall. I say yes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Having lunch with a friend. Yeah, all right. What the heck? But you know, I really am striving to do that focus. So, but I love your philosophy. Getting back to helping young people and being a mentor.
Sure.
Maybe you and I. I'm gonna put this on the radio now. I have in the back of my head this dream to set up some type of center, like you know, right in the most poverty stricken zip code in Rochester, setting up some center where we instill as people and a curriculum to teach entrepreneurship to young kids, young
sure.
teens, to just put that vision in their head. Like,
well, you know where those kids are.
Yeah.
Those kids are in school.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to schools, and they come from the most poverty-stricken zip codes of all over
yeah.
Rochester, New York, and they're there because they want to be,
because
right. nobody's forcing them. I think there's this like a 70% dropout rate or something like that in Rochester,
right.
New York right now. It's atrocious.
Oh, that's crazy.
But the kids who are there and the young teens, I don't understand why I went to Edison Tech.
Yeah.
We had a school of business, finance, and entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Right? I don't understand why high school teachers and curriculums don't include something like that, some kind of entrepreneurship.
It
just
should.
Teaching how to balance a checkbook, teaching how to put a budget together.
Life skills.
Life skills.
Yeah.
Home ec.
Yeah.
We used to have, and it's not even a thing anymore.
It's cut. So, it's cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I learned a lot. I learned a lot in home ec. You know, if I remember the big thing I always learned is, so if when you ate it the first time, if it was hot, and then you put it in the fridge. Don't eat it cold because it gets bacteria. So
mm-hmm.
heat it up again.
It, yeah.
Little things like that, you know?
Small things that could save your life. That could save your life.
That's
yeah?
true. That's true. The Heimlich maneuver, right?
Yeah. I think if you have the opportunity to do something good, if you have the opportunity you have, whether it be financial, whether it be that you have time, whether you have energy, whatever
yeah.
those things are that you have a little bit of extra of,
mm-hmm.
Everybody should be trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
It should be going out and finding somebody. Generosity.tech. We could talk about that for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's
like.
Another venture of yours, Generosity.tech. What are you
so,
doing with that?
So 3 months ago, actually it was in July, Donald Trump lifted the conflict mineral rule from the United States legislature.
What is that? Conflict mineral?
You know conflict diamonds.
Right.
Where people in Africa were dying. So,
yeah, yeah.
So
blood
diamonds.
Right?
Same
yeah.
thing. So that though those movies, Hotel Rwanda,
yeah.
All of that, those movies are based on the conflict that's going on in the Congo. And that's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't ended. And what's happening right now is that the cell phones that we have in our pocket, they have hard minerals, they have metals and precious metals that need to be mined. And there's $43 trillion of raw materials in the Congo right now that are being mined through slave labor camps.
Mm-hmm.
They're being forced labor, slave labor camps, and that money is being used to fund the conflict in the Congo with the warlords, and 6 million people have died in the last 4 years.
Wow.
It's an atrocious thing. So we had a rule in the United States where technology companies who are producing new tech, they had to register where they were getting the minerals from. And they weren't allowed to buy from the Congo. And Donald Trump in July raised that rule. So now if I'm a tech company and I want to build microphones or headphones or a cell phone, I can go directly to a slave labor camp in the Congo and I can buy the minerals directly from them.
Rule.
People argue for it because they, you know, it's a way to keep American companies here in the United States, and that's the reason why companies are going overseas, because there's no rules and they're getting them anyway.
Yeah.
They're still coming across, but it's not right.
Yeah,
it's not right. It's completely wrong. Now, what people don't know is that the second largest deposit of minerals besides the Congo is in our pockets. We get a new cell phone and we upgrade our cell phone and the old cell phone goes in the drawer.
Yeah.
We buy a new laptop because we spilled coffee on ours. You're never going to get it fixed. You
yeah.
don't throw it away. You just leave it in the drawer. So we started Generosity.tech. And Generosity.tech, the tagline is local causes for a global impact.
Mm-hmm.
Is www.generosity.tech. You go on the website and we have a bunch of people who are running fundraisers. So churches, local organizations. We have a heart transplant recipient right now who's using our platform to raise money. And what it does is if you have an old piece of tech in your home, a cell phone or a laptop, you go on our website, you register. We send you a box the next day where you can drop it in. Postage is paid for and everything. No work on your part. And then that cell phone that might be worth $36 or $40, that money goes to a charity of your choice that you choose on our website. So it's basically crowdfunding using tech.
Wow. Where do you get the money for the posters and all that stuff?
Everything. So the Generosity.Tech is a sub company of another company that I have. We have Sun King Electronics. Mm-hmm. And Sun King is one of the largest electronics recycling facilities in the Northeast.
Okay.
And Generosity.Tech was created as a we're trying to mine. We're trying to mine our neighborhoods. Different way of mining that people aren't dying and people there's no conflict over. And the more people that donate their tech, and we can break it down to commodities, and we sell it to tech companies who want to source their minerals responsibly.
Yeah,
that's one every cell phone that's created with used tech is one cell phone that's created without conflict minerals.
So that's awesome. So it's a business model for the bigger company. But it's really doing really great things for charities too. Yeah.
It's a charity can come on and raise money through our platform. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter what charity you raise money for. Every time a cell phone or a laptop comes to us and gets broken down to commodities, and we can resell it back to a tech company.
Yeah.
That's one less person who's being. One less person that's being used for slave labor. One less person that's being used for mining in the Congo. That's and there's a lot of other reasons. There's the environmental issue. There's the human rights, the environmental, the socioeconomic, any of the issues that you care about.
We're gonna run out of this stuff. Eventually.
We will eventually if we continue to have unhindered and unlegislated export from the Congo of these minerals.
Crazy.
So it's insane. It's an insane thing. I know a lot of people who are young millennials. Mm-hmm. We do care. I'm not saying that other people don't, but I'm saying the millennials.
I'm Generation X. So I could give a crap. I'm totally kidding.
Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. It's they care in different levels, but they all care for something. There is the environmental issue. You have the Vietnam and Korea activists of your time, and we have the millennials who are.
I'm not that old. I'm an '80s kid. I watch Screech. You know.
There you go. Yep.
One last question before we go here. So, you said you came from some poverty.
Sure.
And a lot of kids do, obviously. And I'll say a lot of them don't turn out like you. I mean, you obviously have the great energy.
Well, I mean, poverty is just a word. It's the mentality. I mean, I came from...
But how'd you get out? How did you personally, like, what do you attribute you getting out and some other kids not?
I never, even when I was a child, I was in foster care. I was adopted. I went through the entire foster care system in Rochester, in New York City, which is, like, one of the worst foster care systems to go through in the country.
Yeah.
Myself with four siblings, and from the time that I was 5 years old, that I can remember thinking, I always thought this is not for me.
Yeah,
I can always remember having the passion and a drive, and I knew I was going to do good things, and I knew that I wanted to do good things, and I wanted to provide for my family and have a better lifestyle. And I don't want my kids to ever have to understand the things that I needed to understand it as a 5 and 6 year old.
Right.
There should be no reason why a child to have to worry about those things. So. There's anything that drives you. You got to pick something that drives you. Yeah. And for me, it was being better than my parents drove me.
Yeah.
And then every two or three years, I realized that I'm exactly where I wanted to be 2 years ago.
Mm.
So I'm making the steps and I'm making the passes, and it really feels good to like check things off your list and like reach goals.
Yeah.
Sometimes a small goal, if you're at a point where you haven't even started yet, just like getting out of your fucking bed and making your bed in the morning is enough to motivate you. Have the cup of coffee, set yourself a list of 5 things to do that you know you're going to get done. They're easy to get done.
Yeah.
So you have that motivation, that positive mental attitude to get up the next day and do something else.
Right.
Yeah. So that's it. Like the zero procrastination, always going and getting it and having a mentality, having a driver, whether that's your children, whether that's your socioeconomic status, whether that's a new car that you've always dreamed of or a house that you've wanted to live in or wanting to travel. I lived like a homeless person for 3 years with money. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't touch my bank account and I ate ramen and slept on the beach and I had a surfboard and I worked. Mm-hmm. So I had an internet connection where I could work and take care of my clients. Yeah. And my clients knew that I was living like living on the beach in right. the Dominican Republic, they probably wouldn't have hired me.
Right.
So it's about a perception is reality. What right. people perceive to be true is true.
Yeah.
So put out a positive positive visual perception of who you are.
Yeah.
Let people perceive you the way you want to be perceived.
Yeah.
Make lists, mm-hmm. set goals, and be driven. Very like good. Always have a good driver.
Sounds like there's a book in you someday.
Someday. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah. yeah. So hey, James, this has been fantastic, folks. Jamie Laureano.
Laureano.
Does a lot of different things. We just talked about generosity.tech, but he does a lot of marketing, social media marketing, digital marketing, et cetera. Just marketing in general for clients. One of his massive specialties, but very inspiring, energetic, young professional here in Ra-Cha-Cha that just moved back from New York City.
Ra-Cha-Cha.
And Ra-Cha-Cha. And so, James, if people want to get in touch with you, what sure. is the best way?
Email jamielaureano@live.com. JamieLaureano@live.com.
Okay. Yep. And if they didn't write that down, you could always email me at david@davidmamano.com and sure. I will connect you. He's also on LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. You can find me just like that, Jamie Laureano on LinkedIn. And I'm connected with Dave. So if you yep. know Dave on LinkedIn, just we have a mutual contact.
We have a mutual friend in Jamie and Dave. Yes, very good. So, Jamie, thanks again. Really appreciate your time and your energy. I know your wife and daughter are across the street waiting ever so patiently.
No, so. they're just. She probably forgot all about me. She's over there having breakfast. The baby's it. Chilling. Yeah, she's I fine. You got to come over for dinner sometime. I live right downtown. Come over and have dinner with us. Yeah,
I would love to. I would love to. You probably have some good food.
I live across the street from Tapas, so we rarely nice. Cook now. Nowadays, oh, yeah. we had the most amazing. It was like a grilled burger from Scotland Yard. Neighbor of ours right across the street.
Yeah, my friend Terry owns that.
That's fantastic. They just opened up a new cafe. They opened up. It's the fifth. Oh my goodness! It's the fifth frame.
Okay.
It's called. It's a new cafe right on 180 St. Paul Street. Right? Oh, nice. Good stuff.
Well, we got to go.
We got to go.
We can talk forever.
Yep, definitely.
We'll have another interview. We'll talk about like your experience with food in Rochester. So.
Sure. Yeah, I have a modeling agency in Nicaragua. I own property all over the South America. Like we could talk about a lot of things. We can pick any topic. Investment opportunities in South America. Should be right. our next conversation.
Lots to talk about.
Sure.
Excellent. Well, Jamie, thanks again. Really appreciate Fantastic. It. Avanti listeners, thank you. Really appreciate you listening. In fact, if you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be on the show, business owners, entrepreneurs, movers, shakers in the Rochester business community, throw me an email at david@davidmamano.com. And thank you so much. Make it a great day and stay awesome.